My name is Craig Williams. With me here is Edie Punt. This is desktop mapping, creating vector tiles. And we're just going to jump right in. So we're going to take a step back before we get into the actual creation part and talk about why vector tiles in the ArcGIS platform, including the vector base maps that we share as an organization here at Esri, that you can consume in your applications. And while we're talking about consuming, we'll talk about consuming and styling vector tiles. Then we'll get into creating vector tiles, authoring your maps for vector tiles. And then I like to finish this particular presentation with an overview of some common questions we hear about vector tiles before we open up the floor for additional questions. And we do that because, you know, we have answers for these. We've heard them, you know, quite a bit. A lot of them are kind of specific things that we wouldn't necessarily cover in the presentation itself, but we'll answer as one-off questions. All right, to take a step back, if you look at web and mobile mapping over the last 10 or so years, you know, you had a lot of base maps, usually raster tiles, and then you had vector content displayed on it. If you're fully into the ArcGIS universe, that's often a feature service displayed on top of a raster base map. That may be your own base map that you've created or a base map that Esri provides. If you wanted to change that map, you're either updating that operational content on top or you're swapping out the base map or regenerating the base map. And this paradigm is changing. And one of the reasons the paradigm's changing is due to high DPI devices. So raster tiles don't work that well on your high DPI devices. Now, a typical raster tile, especially in the ArcGIS world, is 256 by 256. If you want to do a high-resolution version of that raster tile, you often go 512 by 512. That's four times the size. And you think about that with a mobile device, poor bandwidth, you're going to get a slow download performance. This particular example is from Google Maps. Google did this with their initial mobile applications. So they wanted tiles to look good on a Retina display on an iPhone or an Android device, so they made these high-resolution tiles. And what you found often is that your map was just kind of stalled loading. So this approach is one approach for doing high DPI tiles to support the variety of devices we have out today, but it has its limitations. And really, vector tiles are where we're going to solve those issues. And why can we do vector tiles? Well, okay, before we get to that, why vector tiles? We used to say back in like the mid-90s when I started GIS, we had this joke, raster is faster, but vector is corrector. And a lot of people used this as an sort of explanation of raster tiles. You know, raster tiles had pre-rendered content. You're not going to get faster than pre-rendered content, right? It just has to display that image simply. And really, that's not true anymore. And the reason why is when we go to high DPI devices, those raster tiles are really big. And when you get to a big raster tile, the vector data is actually smaller to transport than the raster high DPI tile. And the vector data, we can draw that efficiently now because GPUs are basically everywhere, graphical processing units. You have them on your devices. Usually it's OpenGL ES, specifically OpenGL ES2, you know, on your Android or iPhone or Windows mobile device if you are one of the two people in this audience who have one. In your browser through WebGL, on your desktop in Windows, that's usually DirectX, could be OpenGL. Mac and Linux, it's usually OpenGL. And even in virtualized systems, you can have virtualized GPUs. If you happen to go in the map gallery this week, there was a big green wall that was an NVIDIA wall with 9 screens on it. That was all running a virtualized GPU system, NVIDIA Grid. So with a GPU, we can draw efficiently now, and vector data can remain vector and draw at the native resolution of the device. That's very different than transporting raster tiles and resampling them, kind of getting a muddy display just to draw them on your device. We will say raster data still best served as raster in most circumstances. Sometimes I get this question. You know, often it's not imagery or satellite imagery or something like that. It's something, some other raster data set. Maybe you can convert that to polygons, but most raster data is still best served as raster tiles. So advantages of vector tiles: display quality, best possible resolution for your device, but delivering that in a small, efficient format. And then with vector tiles, since the vector data is drawn on the device, you can get clearer, more readable text, and that text can actually rotate with the map, stay horizontal to be more readable. On top of that, because styling is separated from the vector tile data, we can actually produce multiple styles from the same vector tile set. And we've done that here at Esri to do the various styles of base maps that you've known from the raster tiles. We do those from a single tile set in vector tiles. So vector tiles in ArcGIS, they're produced using ArcGIS Pro. This is a capability we introduced at ArcGIS Pro 1.2. 1.2 is the current version. We're about to ship 1.3, hopefully next week. Vector tiles get better. We fix some issues specifically related to coordinate precision and vector tile creation in 1.3. But 1.2 and higher can create vector tiles. And when we produce vector tiles, the tile payload itself is in the Mapbox vector tile spec, which itself is just a specific format of the Google Protocol Buffers specification. So in Google Protocol Buffers, you define essentially a schema called a message format. That's all the Mapbox vector tile spec is specific for storing there. And then the styling information, the layers in your map and the symbols, are converted to the Mapbox GL style spec. And that is a JSON-based specification separate from the tile payload. So a lot of vendors implement this spec. One of the things we do differently is we more aggressively overzoom tiles. On this image, on this slide off the coast of California here, you'll see the grid of tiles that are produced from our content data set. And in the ocean, we have very, very large tiles. Those are tiles at like LOD 7 in raster tile speak. And we don't create tiles more detailed than that. And the reason why is we can push the full resolution of data we need to draw at those finer LODs into that tile, and the tile's not too large. So when we produce these tiles using this sort of adaptive sizing, we can greatly reduce the number of tiles that are produced during vector tile creation. And then on the drawing side, we have an index that corresponds to this. We can request fewer tiles when we're drawing. So we're cutting down on bandwidth of bringing down what essentially would then be duplicated content for all the subsequent LODs. So this is something we do differently in ArcGIS. If you want to produce tiles that produce the full set of LODs, and by full set of LODs, most vector tile creation operations only go to LOD 15 and overzoom beyond that, we do have the ability to create tiles like that as well. It's just you're going to be writing more tile data to disk. So the vector tile format, it's in protocol buffers. If you were to crack open a protocol buffer using the schema, you would see that the data is organized into layers of geometry, and then there's key value pairs of attributes written with each geometry. And by default, we only push over the attributes that are necessary for drawing the map, so the ones you're symbolizing or labeling on. And then the style file, which is separate from the vector payload, that contains things like the layer order. There's a filtering mechanism you can specify to further restrict or which features draw on the map. There's the symbol information for each symbol layer. And then pro maps are converted to this format. And there may be some loss when doing this conversion. So you should really trial your maps to see how well they convert. One case where the vector tile spec has significantly less functionality is with labeling. If you're used to Maplex labeling and all those things you can do with Maplex, vector tile spec is significantly limited compared to Maplex. So we went through this whole process of creating the Esri base maps, and we did this. We created vector tiles for the entire world. It took about 8 hours on a desktop machine. It was like a four-year-old desktop machine. The only thing we did special to it was we put 16 gigs of RAM and an SSD in it, create tiles for the whole world in 8 hours. 13 gigabytes is the total tile size. And then we generated multiple styles to display maps differently from that same tile set. You compare this to raster tiles, many weeks on a cluster of machines, full tile size of all our tiles is something like 20 terabytes. So we're talking orders of magnitude difference in tile size between vector and raster tiles. So gigabytes versus terabytes, and then you can reuse the same tile set for different styles. Now, we've had vector tile base maps available since about November of 2015. We showed a little bit of a preview of it last year at User Conference, if you were here for that, but the official release was in November. And we have different styles. We have streets with and without relief. We have a topographic map. We have a new navigation map and a night mode of that. And then we have dark and light canvas and a hybrid mode. And before I go any further, I'm actually just going to show that real quickly. I'll bump out to a little application here. Let's see. And my screen just went to a crazy resolution, so let me fix that. All right. Am I back? Nope. Got it. I have a high DPI display. I can't drive the slide projector at high DPI, but it decided to flip to 4K for some reason. So here I have an application where I have the Esri vector tiles. And you know, one of the things we talk about right away is that you know, you can rotate the map and the labels stay horizontal. This application is built in the JavaScript 4.0 API. The 3x API doesn't support rotation, but 4x does. So I have a touch screen here. I'm just going to pick it up and rotate the map. And look how New York and Chicago stay horizontal as I rotate the map. So that's a capability of vector tiles because we're drawing in the browser. Now, this is just the regular street map. If I zoom in here to, say, the Chicago area, this is just the regular street map. I'll go out a little bit west where there's more terrain. We'll flip over to the terrain-based map here. And what we've done here is we've combined raster and vector tiles into a single base map. So we've done this using a web map where the vector tile style has transparent colors, and we've just added a raster hillshade underneath it. We happen to generate a new hillshade for this that's our multi-directional hillshade, so it looks really, really nice. But that's just combining two layers in a web map in the ArcGIS world. Can flip over to a topographic style. That basically just switched out the vector tile style with the hillshade underneath it once again. And then we have the new navigation map. If I go into the Colorado Springs here area here, you'll see this nice new crisp style with the yellow highways. We developed this originally for our Navigator application. With this style in mind for really great use in street mapping. But then one other thing to consider when you're developing navigation apps is that people might be using them at night, and you don't want to blind them with a bright map. So we actually have a night mode of this same map. And then we have things like hybrid, where we combine vector content, these thin, transparent road lines on top of imagery, and then our light gray and dark gray canvas styles. So these are all just different styles on top of that same vector tile set. So that's one of the powers of vector tiles, is being able to restyle here. And you can actually restyle in your applications. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. Let me go back to the slide deck. All right. So with the Esri vector base maps, if you want to work with these, especially if you want to restyle them, have a look at all the blog articles our content team has posted about the Esri base map, their updates. They're currently, I think, listed as beta 2 tiles with a plan to have a final set that includes the layer configuration, et cetera, later this year. But there's a lot of information here and a lot of extra attributes that they've packed into these tiles that you can use for styling. For instance, you can flip between all English labels or local labels for each area on the map. And they have different ways of representing things like borders that are debatable across the world. If you want to represent borders in different ways, they have specification for how you can change how that's represented in the vector tiles. Now, consuming vector tiles in ArcGIS, there are certain sets of applications that can consume them and certain ones that can't. What I'm going to list here is the ones that can consume them. So the JavaScript API introduced vector tile support at 3.15. We're currently on 3.17, so that was two versions ago. And the JavaScript API team is currently working on the 4.x version at the same time. So 4.0 also had vector tile support. And those will develop sort of in parallel for a while, and then 4.0 will continue on. To draw vector tiles in the JavaScript API, we currently use the Mapbox GLJS library. Vector tile drawing in the browser requires a WebGL-capable browser. So all the current versions of Chrome and Firefox and even IE11 support WebGL. Edge supports WebGL as well, but they have a huge bug that does not draw vector tiles correctly. I'll talk more about that later. You may have one of those updated browser versions, but you may be on a system, for instance, a Citrix system without a GPU. You might not have WebGL support. So you need to see if your user community is going to have the browser capabilities to draw the vector tiles in WebGL. In ArcGIS runtime, vector tiles are introduced in Quartz Beta 2 that was just released. And then the runtime applications like Collector and Explorer, those will update through the end of this year to be built on top of Quartz and have the capability of drawing vector tiles. The vector tile implementation in runtime is an in-house implementation at Esri, ground up. We've shared that implementation with ArcGIS Pro 1.3. 1.3 can draw vector tiles. So you may have noticed before that I said 1.2 can create vector tiles. It can create them, but it couldn't actually draw them. So we pushed them out, but we couldn't back consume them. At 1.3, we can now consume vector tiles. And you should have that next week or the week after. So now we'll jump into using and styling vector tiles. And one of the things we want you to think about is when you're using vector tiles in your applications, there's a couple levels of use that you can think about. The first one is if the Esri provided vector tiles and styles work for your application, your easiest path is just going to be to use them. So the reason we produce a lot of different styles of vector tiles is to enable you to just pull them into your application and get to work, not have to worry about managing the tiles, managing updates, you know, tweaking every aspect of cartography. If that works for you, great. You don't have to go any further on this list. But you may want to make changes for your specific application. You may want to change colors, maybe to match some branding of your application. You may want to drop layers. For instance, if you're going to bring in building footprints as operational content on top of a base map, you may want to hide the building footprints that are in the Esri base map. And you can do that with a style modification. You can make other changes to meet the needs of your applications. Those are just simple style edits. And Edie's going to show style editing in a little bit. Then we'll jump on to level C. I'm not going to talk too much about it now. We'll look at styling, and then we'll talk about level C. So styling vector tiles, there's a couple ways to do it. The first thing is that you should have a vector tile layer in your portal or ArcGIS Online account. This cannot be the hosted layer that manages the tiles. If you're working with the Esri vector tiles, you just take a tile layer, you copy it into your account, and then you can manage the style. If you go later on and publish your own tiles, you're still going to need to make a copy. You can't edit the hosted one that's the original thing you publish. But this, the sort of bare bones way to update the style is to hand edit the JSON that makes up the vector tile style. And you can do this. There's a button in the item in ArcGIS Online. You can just download the style. You get a JSON file. You can open that in your favorite text editor, make changes, and then upload it. But that's pretty risky. If you make a syntax error, you upload it, your tiles may no longer draw. So we have a bunch of applications that help you to style your vector tiles. One is specifically designed for the Esri base maps. That's the second link down below there. The other one is just a generic vector tile style editor that could work for the Esri base maps or any base maps that you produce. Those are both on GitHub. You can just search for them and find the code and live links to them. And while we're on this subject, we're going to pass it over to Edie, and she's going to demonstrate style editing.
Okay, can you hear me? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to reiterate a couple of the points that Craig just made, and we'll see how that works. So he went through and talked about three kind of different levels of working with vector tiles. So the very first one is, like we said, Esri provides a number of vector tiles for you to use. They're all leveraging the same data. They're just styled differently. And if those work for you, that's great. Just go ahead and use them. So I've got a simple web map here, and I'm just showing two of them. I have the world navigation map, and I have the light gray canvas. And if I switch between these, you can see that they are the same. They're just styled differently. So just go ahead and use them. The second layer, that item B on Craig's slide, was the idea of taking one of our vector tiles and customizing it for your own use. So we talked about how the data is separate from the style file. The style file is what tells the tiles how to draw. So that means we can make a copy of any of these layers and just use them for our own use by restyling them. So I'm going to choose the light gray canvas, copy the layer in my web map. Now I have a copy, and I'm just going to save this, and I'm saving it to my organization. I have a folder called UC 2016. Just call this UC layer. Now if I refresh, here I am in my org account. There's the layer that I made. So when I go to that item, I can see a button right here, View Style. So this is what Craig was talking about. The style is just simple JSON code. So one way I could make this my own is to, let me go back to that, download that style, I'll get a JSON file, and I can hand edit that in a text editor. That works. But as we said, it's a little bit of a brute force way. It's not super user-friendly to be doing cartography in a text editor. So Craig mentioned two different free applications we have. They're both hosted in GitHub. Here's an example of one. This will allow you to edit the style for any vector tile. So I'm just going to open this up right here, and we can see how it works. So I've previously signed into my organization account, so it's finding vector tile layers that are in my org. Right now I just have one. This is, not sure if you can see it, but it says UC layer there. It's the one that I just made moments ago. And what I see in this application is the JSON code on the left and a simple viewer on the right. So this is the light gray canvas layer that I made a copy of. And now we have a nicer environment to do some changes. And I'm just going to do a simple change. You can search for parts of the JSON code here. I'm looking at the land color section, and I'm just going to make a simple change to the color here and apply that, and you can see that. So I get to iteratively make changes to the styling, and I want you to also notice as I zoom in, that change has been made through the stack. I don't need to go through to every LOD and make that change. I'm just changing that color in one spot, and every level of detail is picking that change up. So what I can then do is save this layer back, and then I can consume it. And so that's items A and B from that slide, and then we'll get into the rest, which is the item C, creating your own. So I'm going to send it back to Craig.
All right, so that was styling. You could do color changes, you can drop layers, you can make other changes to really meet the needs of your application by styling. But maybe you have different data. You're not just doing street mapping. You want to show some other content, or you have your own street data. Then you jump into option C, create your own vector tiles from your own data. And that's what we'll talk about next. So with creating vector tiles, you create them in ArcGIS Pro 1.2 or higher. 1.2 is the current version. We hope to ship 1.3 next week to you. And you publish tile layers to ArcGIS Online or Portal. You need Portal 10.4 or higher. You create vector tiles with geoprocessing tools. The primary tool you work with is called the Create Vector Tile Package tool. Now, earlier I showed you that tile index. That was created with the Create Vector Tile Index tool. And that is an optional step you can take before running Create Vector Tile Package. And that creates that density index to calculate how far we need to carry tiles when we create the vector tiles. One of the reasons you may want to run that beforehand is actually as a QC check on your data. See if there's extra density in an area that you don't expect it. We did that when we created our first set of vector tiles. The funniest case we found was we had one area that was super dense. We didn't understand why there were so many vertices there. We went to it. There were 1,000 copies of the same building over on top of each other. Now, when you're creating raster tiles, it doesn't matter. The system's just going to draw 1,000 polygons, and your tile size isn't going to be any different. But when you're writing vector tiles, you're going to get 1,000 polygons in that tile, and that's going to be big. So you can run that, get a gauge of your density. If you're also going to run the Create Vector Tile Package tool more than once, it's just going to be faster if you've pre-created the index. So it's going to run through. If you don't pre-create it, we'll create it for you and then throw it away at the end of the tool run. We also updated two existing tools to support vector tiles. The first one is the Share Package tool. If you're going to share a package, your vector tile package is 2 gigs or over, you can't add it as an item through the browser. You need to use the Share Package tool and then publish it once it's uploaded. We also updated the Extract Package tool to support vector tiles. So a vector tile package is a zip file with bundles packed into it that then contain the protocol buffer files. If you want the raw protocol buffer files, run the Extract Package tool and the whole contents of the vector tile package will be dumped to disk. Now, if you've ever wondered what a vector tile service, once you create it, looks like, it has some extra resources on it that you might not be familiar with if you're used to looking at something like a feature service or a map service. And this is related to the style specification. So you have a root JSON that contains the high-level information about the service, and then the tile map, that's that index I talked about that allows us to efficiently request tiles for sparse or more dense areas. Then you have the tile payload itself, and then pretty much everything under resources is related to the style. So there's a default style with the service, and that includes fonts, which are cached in a specific format to allow for drawing efficiently in vector tiles. The style itself is in the styles directory. Sprites, those are any point symbols in your map or any highway shields. They get written to a single image, actually at 2 resolutions to support high or low DPI. And then info contains basically a manifest of all the information needed for a style. Now we'll jump into authoring vector tiles. Few things to keep in mind when authoring vector tiles. The first thing is that only feature layers with simple, unique value, graduated, or class break symbology are supported. Now, you may look at that and think that's pretty limiting, but you can make a lot of maps with just those symbology types. Your maps really should be reauthored for vector tiles, especially if you have a map that you've authored from one of our caching templates for raster tiles. In those cases, you duplicated content often across scale ranges, usually with a group layer per level of detail. So if you had a roads layer, you copied that roads layer, I don't know, 15 to 20 times, and then you use something like a definition query to restrict the amount of information that was drawn at each level of detail. That style of map will not create efficient vector tiles. In fact, it's most likely that the Create Vector Tile Package tool will bail out on that map and tell you you have too much content, because each one of those duplicated layers ends up as duplicated content and your vector tiles become too large. So how do you author a map that's more efficient? Well, we've added some capabilities to ArcGIS Pro to allow you to do that. The first thing we added was scale-dependent capabilities to symbology. Then, actually at 1.3, this is a new feature specific for 1.3, we added alternate symbols. This allows you to specify a different symbol for a different scale range for the same symbology class in a unique value renderer. Then we added scale-based sizing. This allows you to change scale or change size as you move across scales on a map if you want to make a line thicker or thinner as you move across scales. And we fixed a core issue with scale logic you may be used to. Now I'm going to dive into each one of these and explain them. And then after that, Edie's going to give a demonstration of these capabilities and show how they're used to make a vector tile package. Scale-dependent symbology. This is available with unique value and class breaks renderers. And what you see here is a picture of the user interface. We've introduced a scale view for each symbol class. You can just pick up a slider and set a scale range in which that symbol class will display. So for the case where you used to duplicate the roads layer through all the levels of details and either remove the symbol classes from the symbology or set a def query to restrict the ones that drew, don't do that anymore. Do this. And what this allows us to do is have a multi-scale layer that carries through all the scale ranges without duplicating content. And that's what we need for vector tiles, for them to be lean and efficient. Now, when Edie was styling her map, you notice how she changed that one color, and then as she zoomed in, that color kept applying? That's because that was one layer that went through all the scale ranges. So she just had to change the color once, and that layer was reused through all the scale ranges. Now, we do on-the-fly generalization to help out with this, on-the-fly generalization during the tile creation process. That's what allows us to have something that may have the detail for your detailed levels of details and be light enough for the world scales. But the tool takes care of that. The main thing you need to focus on is the authoring and allow layers to carry through many levels of detail. Now, alternate symbols are a variation on the scale-dependent symbology. And this allows you to change the appearance of a symbol at a scale range without duplicating the content. I commonly use this for local roads. So local roads, you often want them as a cased line. But at medium scales, you may want them as a thin, lighter gray line. And the only way to do that without alternate symbols is to duplicate the content. By having alternate symbols, I can just specify draw with this symbol through this scale range, draw with this other symbol through the other scale range, not duplicating layer content. We added this as a capability in 1.3. It's only available for the unique value renderer at this time. The other thing we introduced was scale-based symbol sizing. This is available for single symbol, unique value, and class break symbology. This allows you to make changes to symbol size across scales. Once again, the place I like to use this is local roads. So local roads, you know, you may use alternate symbols and symbol sizing in conjunction with each other. Have a thin gray line or a thin white line moves to a cased road symbol. And then as you get to really large scales, especially when you have building footprints, you want that road symbol to get wider to almost be the width of the real road. You know, how many of us have seen maps where there's a thin little line, then there's a big gap, then there's building footprints? That looks a little awkward. If you want to make it wider, you can use scale-based symbol sizing to do that. The next thing we did is we fixed a core issue with scale logic. So if you used ArcMap or ArcGIS Pro 1.0 or 1.1, you author a layer that goes from 1 to 1 million to 1 to 500,000, and then another layer that goes from 1 to 500,000 to 1 to 10,000. If you went right at 1 to 500,000, both layers would draw. This is a problem when you're authoring a multi-scale map. Now, for raster tile creation, the way a lot of people worked around this is they would just change layer 1 to draw from 1 to 1 million to 1 to 500,001. So they would introduce that little gap there. That worked fine for raster tiles as long as that little gap didn't correspond to one of the levels of detail that's created for raster tiles. It does not work well for vector tiles. The reason why is that clients can draw vector tiles continuously through all scale ranges. So when you introduce a gap in a scale range, you introduce a gap in content. So as you're zooming in, you would actually have content flash off and then flash on again as you're zooming in. So to fix this, we've introduced an option. With this option, layer 1 would draw from 1 to 1 million and turn off right before it hit 1 to 500,000 and allow layer 2 to take over. Now, what this option is it's called draw up to and including maximum scale in scale ranges. You want this unchecked. You don't want it to draw at maximum scale. With new maps in ArcGIS Pro, this is unchecked by default. But if you have existing content you're bringing in from an ArcMap document, we need to preserve the behavior of ArcMap. So this will be checked on. So you need to go in there and manage this. This is just part of the map general properties in a pro map. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Edie. She's going to demonstrate authoring, publishing, and showing the final published content.
Okay, so I've got a multi-scale map here of streets in Iceland, and in this scenario, I'd like to publish these as vector tiles. So I'm going to reiterate a number of the things that Craig just reviewed in the slides. So first of all, we want to think about reauthoring our maps for vector tile creation. We're not looking at the same series of group layers that we would have used for raster tile caching. So if I expand this group layer, you can see I don't have all those group layers by scale range. I just have a flat list. So that's item number one. Before I go too much further, I want to show you that checkbox that that Craig was talking about on his very last slide, where we properly manage that gap or eliminate that gap in drawing at different scales. So if I go into the properties of the map itself, right here on the general tab for the map properties, here's that checkbox that previous slide was about. Draw up to and including the maximum scale and scale ranges. So to reiterate, a brand new map in Pro is going to have this off. You want this checkbox off if you're creating vector tiles. When you're going to see it on is when you import an MXD, import your map from ArcMap into Pro. Checked on is preserving that old ArcMap behavior. So I've got my multi-scale map, and as I zoom in, you can see right now I've got roads drawing at all the layers, no matter what scale I'm at. And these white roads down here, these are actually streets. We get to a point where it's just too too much. We're at a scale that is too small to be sensibly showing some of these streets. So what I want to do is use the new scale-dependent symbology functionality. So let's take a look at my roads. If I go over here to the symbology, I'm drawing my roads by unique value. This is what we're used to seeing. We have different symbol classes for the roads. All the different road classes are here. Right here is a button. This functionality was new at version 1.2. This is the scale range view. So if I flip it over, I'm still seeing the symbols and the values. And now I have sliders that go along with each symbol class. So you can see in the heading of this grid, I'm going from minimum to maximum. So this is my small scale and this is my large scale. So right now we're drawing every symbol class at every scale range throughout the map. And I'm just going to do a little bit of editing here to make some changes. And I can just start sliding these to different spots. And you can see it's pretty easy to slide them. One thing I can also do is just click on them and pick from a list. And I can make modifications this way. I'm just going to set them all up. And you might be wondering where these scales are coming from. If you've done any raster caching, you probably recognize these scales. These are the standard tiling scheme scales. And you might be wondering if there's different scales you can use. All of these stops along this slider, all of these scales that are inside this combo box, these are coming from the map scales that are set up. So let me just slide these ones down here, and then we'll be done, and I can show you where the map scales are. So all of those scales that I'm accessing here in this combo or in the slider stops all come from, everything's driven from the map scales. So these are the scales defined in our map. And back in ArcMap, this was kind of just a convenience thing, but this list becomes very important when you're building vector tiles because that's how you're going to control this authoring. So if you want to choose different scales, just customize. And here's where you can delete these scales, type in your own, you can load in the tiling scheme. So that's where you manage those scales. Okay, so now that I finally have all those set up, you can see, let me pause labeling on this. I'll draw a little bit faster. You can see as we move in and out, we're getting true multi-scale behavior without all that duplication of group layers. So it was maybe not super pleasant watching me pull across 10 sliders, but it was a whole lot easier than building those group layers, especially if I decided I want to make some symbol changes now. I don't have to go into each group layer. So there's a couple other things we can do. Craig talked to you about alternate symbols. This is new at 1.3. So these sliders came in at 1.2, but this alternate symbols is brand new at 1.3. So take a look here at this kind of mid-range scale. I definitely want to see the streets of Reykjavik here, but they're starting to be a little bit graphically overbearing. So the cartographer in me is not super happy with this. So I'm going to invoke my alternate symbol behavior here. And there's a couple different things I can do. I can highlight that the streets are the value 99 here and use the add alternate symbol, or I can just click inside here. And what that's done is here's my value of 99. These are my local streets. I've broken the slider range into two. So remember, small scale is at the left, large scale is at the right. So at the smaller scale end of the limited range, I'm going to be drawing this symbol, and at the larger scale end of the range, I'm drawing that symbol. Right now, they're identical symbols because the system can't read my mind. So let's make a change to that smaller scale symbol, and I'm just going to simplify it. Right now we're drawing cased roads, and I'm just going to take off the casing and just make it a thinner white line. Let's apply that. So now, hopefully you can see that on the projector, I still have the streets, but they are much more subtly applied at this scale, much more appropriate for this scale. So I'm drawing in this range right here. As I zoom in, I jump into this part of the range where I'm now back into the cased road symbol. So that's the concept of alternate symbols. And like, like Craig mentioned, not only is this sort of cool and fun, but it means less duplication when we're creating those vector tiles because I didn't have to duplicate the layer. So one last bit of creation, authoring control I have is the very last part. So we sort of have four different levels of controlling what we see at different scale ranges. One is just controlling the scale range of the entire layer itself. The second one is moving these sliders. The third one is these alternate symbols. That's just in 1.3. And then the fourth one is quite subtle, but it's nice. So let's go back to the larger scale version. This is the one with the casing. This is the one without the casing. So I'm going to click on that. Here I'm at the basic properties of the symbol, and here's this checkbox. So Craig mentioned this in his slide, enable scale-based sizing. So what I see now when I click that on is I get a duplication of that slider for this symbol from back in the previous pane. So it's telling me this symbol is drawn between 72,000 and down to 1 to 1,000. And right now, across the range, it's being drawn at 3.5 points. So this is what Craig was talking about, where you can get zoomed way in here, and we get to this point where we have this crazy tiny line in amongst our buildings. So with scale-based sizing, I can make some changes. I can make it a little bit smaller at the small scale range and fairly large. Go up quite a bit. Now I'm seeing, I could probably even go further, but you get the idea. Now I'm seeing a thicker line at the larger scale, and it's varying linearly until I get down to this end of the range where we're back to that more sensible size. So we're varying between about 3 points and 15 points. So again, this is subtle, but it's one of those cartography things where if you did it right, nobody notices, right? That's what we want with our maps. So I've done a lot of cartography. Let me get on back track to the actual creation of the vector tiles. So Craig mentioned to you two different tools. They both live here under data management package. We have create vector tile package. That's the one that's going to actually create our vector tiles for us. And we have create vector tile index. So create vector tile index is the one that made the thing that looks like this on Craig's slide. So this is optional. We do not have to generate this, but this is the one that Craig mentioned is really good for quality control. If we were seeing a lot of small tiles way up here where there are no people, we might know that maybe we have one of those situations where we have 1,000 buildings on top of each other. So this is showing us where the density of vertices in our vector data is. If I've created this, I can use it as an input to the create vector tile package tool. I don't need to, but I can. So let me flip this because the tiles are going to run based on what's visible. So I want to make sure I'm creating vector tiles of the right thing. I'm going to input the map and give it an output file name. Now, Now, think back early in the presentation when Craig talked to you about how we do an aggressive over zoom. That is our indexed tiling format option. That's going to use that set of dense grids that I just showed you. The other option is flat, which means we're building tiles at every single level of detail. So we're going to keep it at the indexed option. And here's where I can put those tiles in as index polygons. This is optional. I don't need to. If I don't do it, the tool will create it by itself. So we save a little bit of time on the processing if we supply those tools, those tiles. Okay, so let me get this running. So we're creating our vector tile package right now. And while that's running, I just want to pop over and show you a couple resources we have. Here in our ArcGIS Pro documentation, so this is online, help maps, authoring maps, there are two topics that have quite a lot of information that's good for you if you're going to be doing this. This topic is called Author a Map for Vector Tile Creation. It goes through a lot of the details that Craig and I have given you today. And then there's also, right above it, right here, Author a Multiscale Map. And this is a little bit more generic, not specific to vector tiles, but will go through a lot of that scale-based sizing that I showed you. Let's pop back over here. We are almost done. Okay, finishing package. So that took 48 seconds to do an entire package of Iceland, granted small island. So let's go back here and get back into my organization. And so now I've created the vector tile package and I want to add it to my organization. So right now what I'm going to do is just add it manually from my computer. We do not yet have a sharing experience that's going to come in the future. So here's the one that I just made a moment ago, the vector tile package. And I'm going to just upload this into my org account. And notice I have this checkbox checked here, publish this file as a tile layer. So I'm uploading a vector tile package, but at the same time, I'm publishing a vector tile layer. And that's coming in. So once this is done, I can open this in a map viewer. And I can do exactly the same thing that you saw me do at the very beginning. I could make a copy. Remember, Craig said you can't modify the hosted version. This is the hosted tile layer. I could make a copy of my own tile layer, and then I would see that button to download the style. So then I could start making different styled versions of my one tile layer. So I have the data once, and I can make different styled versions. And this is taking a little bit of time.
So what it's doing here is we've uploaded the package, and then it needs to explode the resources of the package and make them available as the service endpoint. So depending on the payload of people doing this on ArcGIS.com, you'll get varying response times.
There we go.
There it is.
Okay.
When I did this during development, our dev summit, there were tons of people publishing vector tiles from the island. I had one that took like 7 minutes.
So to bring it full circle, I can open this up in a map viewer. Let's go up to Iceland. Let me adjust the transparency here so you can see what we've actually created. So here it is. So all that scale-based symbology, it's all in here. There's the alternate symbols. It's all there. And I can go in and do the same thing. Make a copy, save it, open it in GitHub, in that application, make changes to the style, and make a new version of it. And as Craig mentioned, way back here in ArcGIS Pro, starting at 1.3, we can now reconsume that. So, which is the one that I, obviously I have two in here. This is the vector tile package. We can consume either the vector tile package or the layer. So let me just right click on that layer, the one that I just made, add to a new map. Let that draw, I'll turn off the base map. And there you can see the vector tile base map coming in back inside Pro. So there are the alternate symbols, there are the cased roads, the sized cased roads as we go into the building layer. Okay.
All right. So that's the bulk of the presentation, but before you get up and go away, I want to run through these common questions before we open it up for open questions. These cover all the things we hear throughout the week at this conference and conferences like our Developer Summit and just, you know, online and GeoNet and such. So the first thing we hear is, why would I create raster tiles anymore? And at this point, you need to consider a variety of things. What are your requirements for your map? What are your clients for your map? So things like Collector and Explorer haven't caught up with vector tiles yet. That may be a problem for you. But if you're just making web maps with the JavaScript API, they may work for you and meet all your needs. Depends what content you need in your map. Do you need things like annotation, or can you substitute labels for that? So think about that. At the same time, we get questions all the time about people who want to make imagery with vector tiles with imagery, which is really odd to me. Use raster tiles for that. It's raster data. Next thing we hear is a question, can my data be extracted from vector tiles? And I wrote a big statement about this. I'm going to let you read it, and then I'll talk about it. So the most important sentence there is probably the last one. It's not raw data. We've chopped and sliced and diced this data. Actually, polygons are cut at tile boundaries, but then they're actually expanded. So if someone wrote a tool to kind of churn through the vector tiles, they could get generalized content out of it. They're not going to get all the attributes, and they'd have to piece a bunch of stuff together. And in other cases, we've done things like dissolved roads. So if you didn't label the roads and they all just have one symbol, we've made one huge spaghetti line symbol out of that because we can store that more efficiently in the vector tiles. So you're not going to get the original data out of the vector tiles. Next thing we hear, people are confused as to how to publish vector tiles. Why don't I see share as vector tiles in ArcGIS Pro? If you're an ArcGIS Pro user, you'll know that most things are shared via a whole sharing experience in ArcGIS Pro. We do not yet have this implemented for vector tiles. The vector tile experience is all geoprocessing tools like ED demonstrated. We plan to add the full sharing experience, including an automatic upload of the vector tile package in a future release. Next question, can I create vector tiles for any map projection? And at this point, WebMercator Auxiliary Sphere supported for the initial release, that was 1.2. That continues for 1.3. We're looking to support projections at 1.4. I demonstrated that in the Road Ahead session. If you saw that already, also giving the Road Ahead session tomorrow morning. And I'll show that once again if you're interested. Should I reauthor my maps for vector tiles? Edie showed this quite a bit. Yes. Start with the help topic, author a map for vector tile creation. So don't just take your existing map and throw it at the tool, because you're probably going to end up with a bad experience. Read this topic. See if you could take advantage of these capabilities in ArcGIS Pro that we demonstrated, and reauthor your map. You want the lightest possible tiles you can create, because they're going to give you a better experience across a variety of clients. Will ArcMap support vector tiles? it's unlikely that we'll add vector tile viewing support to ArcMap. Creation support, I can straight out say we're not going to add, because we added all these capabilities to ArcGIS Pro to make efficient vector tiles. That's not going to happen with ArcMap. But we want to hear your feedback on this. Let us know how this works for you and your organization. Can I do server-side vector tile creation? So we showed creating vector tiles in ArcGIS Pro. If you're a raster tile creator, you're used to whole server-side workflows for creating tiles, updating tiles, all that. And at this time, you can only create them in Pro, but we have this plan for Portal and ArcGIS Online, including updates. Right now, if you want to do an update to vector tiles, you essentially need to republish the tile set. For most people, that's not a big issue because the tile sets are pretty small. It's because of that order of magnitude difference between raster and vector tiles, those style of updates aren't that big of a problem. All right, the next thing we hear, we released the first set of vector tiles. I got a flood of emails from people, including our distributors all over the world. Vector tiles aren't drawing in my browser. You have a bug. And in most cases, that is likely a WebGL problem. And it's probably that your graphics driver is out of date. Or you're using Edge. Don't use Edge until they fix their bug. If you're using Chrome or Firefox or IE 11 and you're seeing problems with vector tiles, like whole layers aren't drawing or geometries are scrambled, that is likely a problem with your graphics driver. Now, one of the top things we recommend is to not rely on Windows Update to give you a graphics driver update. Go to the device manufacturer. So NVIDIA or ATI, go to the manufacturer, download the latest driver for your graphics card, and update that. If you draw maps with Arabic and Hebrew, you will notice that they do not draw correctly. We don't support right to left. We don't support a concept in text rendering called contextual shaping. This is a serious issue and a current limitation of the vector tile spec that we are looking at a solution for. Can I use any font for vector tiles? So we convert fonts into a format that's efficient for rendering in vector tiles. And from a technical standpoint, we can do any TrueType or OpenType font. But the land of font licensing is very complex. And you may or may not have a paper license for your font that tells you whether or not you can use it in this application. So you either need to read your license for your font and what its license for use as, or avoid the issue altogether and use an open source font. And if you're looking for open source font resources, a quick Google search will give you a wide variety of open source fonts. I personally like Adobe's open source fonts. Adobe has a reputation for creating really high-quality fonts. They have a new set of open-source fonts you could freely use in your maps and not have to worry about such limitations. Can Esri clients view non-Esri-created tiles conforming to the specification? Yes, we can. This is our goal. We have examples in the JavaScript API. I'm actually going to show an example in ArcGIS.com. I'm going to bump out. We have a partner, Mapillary. They were down in the expo this week, if you saw them. They do sort of, street view, OpenStreetMap style, if you think about it. You can collect imagery on your phone or on your drone and upload it to Mapillary, and it's street view imagery. And they collect tracks of what people are sending them images for, and they serve it out as vector tiles. They wrote their entire vector tile creation from scratch because they needed to write it specifically on top of their data source. But they create tiles according to the Mapbox vector tile spec, and we can draw these. These will draw in ArcGIS Pro. They draw in ArcGIS Online here. So these little green lines are all the places that people have contributed tracks of imagery. All right, does the print service support vector tiles? not at this time. If you're printing through the JavaScript API and you're using one of the Esri base maps, it'll flip it out for the street map, the raster street map. If you're using your own vector tiles, it'll just get dropped. This is something we want to support in the future. We want to support printing of vector tiles. We want to support printing them as vectors. And with that, we'll open it up to questions. I will tell you to please fill out the survey. If you haven't done the survey yet, it's in the events application. You find this session. You answer a couple questions at the bottom. We use that feedback to guide sessions in the future. I think you in the back had your hand up first. Okay, so the question is, there is some attribute information written into the vector tiles. Is there any way to do a pop-up of the vector tiles? I actually need to add this to the common questions because I've answered this question like 5 times this week. Not that way. What we recommend is the same recommendation we actually have for hosted raster tiles, which is to configure the pop-up to hit a feature service. So in some cases, that's called a buddy feature service, but that doesn't translate well and is really strange and hard to explain. It's essentially pointing the pop-up to a feature service. So when you do the pop-up click, it's going and executing a query on a feature service. We would prefer people use that path than trying to pack extra attributes into the vector tiles, because that's just going to make the vector tiles bigger. That said, there actually is a way to ensure extra attributes get written to vector tiles if you're going to need it for styling down the road. And that's to go into the fields view of that layer in Pro and click the highlight option for the fields you want. Then we'll carry those across to vector tiles. Please use that sparingly because it's going to bloat the size of your tiles if you turn that on for everything. That's why we have that sort of out-of-the-way opt-in approach for pushing that in. There is not a really clean way to get it out of the get the attributes out of the vector tile through the pop-up through our current APIs. You could write custom code to do it if you decompile the tile and do all that. So it's there, but we don't have an API for it. We don't plan to develop it. You were next, I think. Okay, the question is, we talked about scale-dependent symbology. Is there anything being done with labels with respect to that? No, but because label classes already have scale dependency on them. So when a lot of people asked us for scale-dependent behavior in symbology, they actually pointed to label classes and said, what you have for label classes, I need that for symbology. That said, authoring the two in combination is not that easy to do. We want to add some tools to keep those better in sync down the road so that you can author your symbology and have label classes that more easily match it. You. Okay, so the question is, what's the story with credit consumption when publishing the package to ArcGIS Online? I am not an expert in credit consumption at all. But like raster tiles, it's essentially the payload of the tiles, and then there's no active behavior behind the service. If you want more specifics on that, I would tell you to go to the expo, but it's closed now. You can speak to your account manager or find out. I do not believe that we have pre-check capabilities for vector tiles, but I could be wrong there. Okay. So the question is, when you make the layer copy, are you copying the whole tile content or just the styling info. You're just doing the style. It's much like a layer file in Pro or ArcMap. It's just a style file, or just a style with a pointer back to the original tiles.
You notice how quickly that happened right at the beginning when I copied the light gray layer. It just, you get the right away because you're just getting that style file.
Yeah, if you're styling your own tiles, you'll find the copy thing is a little like, it feels a little awkward at first, but then you're really grateful for it when you screw up a style because then you didn't screw up your service.
So she's talking about how to get the style back.
Yeah, so when you edit the style in that GitHub interface, you edit the style, and there's an apply, and then there's a save. Apply just applies it so you can see it refresh in the application. The save actually updates the item, that layer
right.
item.
I didn't show it, but if I'd done save and then gone back to that web map, you would have seen green polygons there.
Yeah, if you totally break your style and you haven't hit save, I think actually there's even a revert button in there.
There's a reset button.
Yeah, reset that resets you back to the original state so you can get out of jail free. So, all right, nobody else? Come on up if you have any individual questions you want to ask. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Oh, Steven's got one. So is our vector tile endpoint available for editing in other vector tile editors, like Mapbox Studio you'd be asking about? It is, but they don't allow it because they don't support cross-domain URLs. So for a security purpose, they don't support mixing in multiple domain items. They were looking into it. I don't know the latest on that. So for vector tile support down the road, we need to make modifications to our vector tile drawing to support projections. And doing that on the current library we use, which is Mapbox GLJS, is really hard and doesn't integrate well with our layer stack. So we are investigating writing our own JavaScript layer stack to solve that issue for multiple projections. You and you, only because I saw her first. All right.
Yeah, you can make that into your base map, and then you can remove the other base.
So with an organizational count in ArcGIS.com, the default experience is you get the Esri base map gallery, and you get the default Esri base map, which is a topographic map. You can override the gallery, and you can override what the default is. And then that's respected in ArcGIS.com. Actually, Pro respects that by default. So when you create a new map, like when Edie added the vector tile layer back into Pro, she had the topographic map by default. That's because Pro respects all the organizational settings.
Okay.
So, and then you?
And I can use Pro, create a service on my server, and serve it out of the
rest of the
client, and then use that
in Portal. So, we only support vector tile publishing to Portal or ArcGIS Online, not to a raw server endpoint. But there is a REST endpoint behind that. But it's a hosted endpoint as part of the portal using the portal's identity structure.
So I guess I can use it on my portal.
Yes. All right. Go on up. In the back again.
Plan for what changes are coming to the reference vector tiles, so they can update their
Okay, the room's quiet enough. I'm not going to repeat that question. Actually, we're doing that throughout the beta structure with a series of blog posts that talk about the structure of the map. The other thing we did is we changed the URL. So the tile URL is different. So your old styles can point to the old URL of tiles, and then you choose when you want to migrate to the new tile set. And that is likely what we will do, although I haven't discussed this in detail with the team. Adding layers won't break your map. You just won't draw on your map. So if we add new content to the tiles and you don't have it in your style, it's just not going to draw. It's primarily when we restructure content that would may be a breaking change. And those will be well advertised, and I would imagine we would flip URLs to not break existing maps. We don't like to break people's maps. We don't want to do it. It's relatively easy for us to just keep multiple versions. So, all right, thanks a lot.